He says, everything that is born or birthed of God overcomes the world. You want to overcome masturbation, you got to die to it and let God resurrect purity in you. And then you won't have the inclination and desire to masturbate because you'll be dead to it. You won't have a desire to go watch porno because you're dead to it. You won't have a desire to smoke cigarettes. Why? You'll be dead to it. You'll overcome the world through death and resurrections as you progress in the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith or our belief in God. You overcome the world through faith. I believe if I die to something, that God will resurrect the newness in me. He'll refurbish me. That's the faith that overcomes the world. If I put it on the altar and do my 50% by presenting my body as a living sacrifice, God will faithfully resurrect a new me, and I can walk in what the Bible calls what? Newness of life. That's what you're looking for. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is of truth. So Jesus Christ just didn't come in human form by blood. He didn't come just as a man with the blood, the life and the blood flow of a man, the soul of a man. He was also baptized in the Jordan River and dedicated that life by water to God. And the Spirit then bore witness. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, as the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. He took the blood life, he took the human life, and gave it back to God in water baptism. He was put to death in the water and resurrected, and then the Spirit bore witness. That's what makes you a manifested son. I'm taking the life God gave me, just like I talked about with Abraham and Isaac the other week, and I'm giving it back to God. Then the Spirit will bear witness that you're through with the world and you're resurrected unto God now. You're no longer a child of the devil. You are now a child of God. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Spirit, your spirit, the water, which is a type of the word, and the blood, which is the overcoming power of the Lamb's blood, transfusion of blood in you. All that must agree. What you are, what you say must agree. If you live contrary to what you are and you say something different from what you are, you're a liar. You can't be a sinner and talk faith talking, God talking, the Lord and all this other stuff. The Spirit will never bear witness. You don't agree inside. There is no agreement in you. Everything must align. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a physical body. That is, the majority of your body is made up of water. You're 70 to 75% water. All that must agree. You can't be a what? A hypocrite. You can't say one thing and do another, and you can't do one thing and say another. You won't get the Spirit won't bear witness because you're a hypocrite. He knows there is not uniformity in you. There is not one accord in you. You're not walking together in a unified, sober way where you're all in agreement. You got all this dysfunctional trash in you that you're trying to look like, act like, live up to. Notice every sinner in the world. They always live up to the expectations of other people. They have no identity. They do what others expect them to do. Man, you're talking about living in hell. That's torment. I don't even know who I am. I'm living up to your expectations of me. Man, that's living in eternal torment. You got to have an agreement in you that's based on a vertical relationship with God, who gives you the identity of the Father. And you know who you are inside. You have confidence and boldness based on the fact that I have identity. I know who I am in Christ. And I don't need you to validate me or verify that I am who I am. I don't need you to sign off on anything. You know how many people contact me trying to sign off on me and tell me they don't believe what I say and agree with it? I don't care. I don't need your validation. I don't need you to verify anything. When you got God and you know him, you seek to please God. That's it. And then you go walk with everybody else like that. That's not pride. That's family membership. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Do you not know that every sinner is dead? They're dead. They're the walking dead. That's not an AMC presentation every week. The walking dead is what sinners are. You don't have the Son. You don't even have life. You're a walking dead person. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will. It's got to be according to his will. So I need a revelation of his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do I know his will? I know the word. The word is his will. So therefore, I can ask according to the word of God, and I know I'm asking according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We need answers. Prayer is not good enough. I need answers to prayer. Without answers to prayer, praying is just is almost idiotic. We need answers to prayer. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now that's probably the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. There remains no salvation for you in this life or in the world to come. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the only avenue out of here. You curse the Holy Ghost, you've sealed your damnation. A lot of folks making fun of talking in tongues, they better be very careful. Oh, John Belushi made that mistake. Wanted to make fun of talking in tongues on Saturday Night Live. He was dead soon thereafter. Don't fool around with things you don't understand. If you don't understand it, keep your mouth shut. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one, referring to Satan, touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness. Folks who want to be interactive with the world and the people in it, they are seeking after wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. This is the counsel of an elder. John is an elder. John wrote the book of John. John wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John wrote Revelation. John is an elder. This is the old man that knows the way, trying to tell folks what's what and how to live. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from that which is going to lead you astray. Right now, because the leadership is out of kilter and the elders are not in place on a global paradigm, you don't see the elders in place. The church is basically stumbling around in darkness, like a body with no head, blinded. See, your head has eyes in it. No head, no eyes, you can't see. why leadership is missing in the church. Leaders who are in the churches that are not leaders at all, they lead the people astray because they love the world. When leaders love the world and the people follow the leaders, the Bible says blind leaders of the blind are taking the whole congregation and the whole group into a ditch. Leaders are soulish. They're not spiritual. They work you up into a frenetic energy. They work you up into emotional, you know, emotional hyperactivity. But they don't lead you into the spirit to discipline you to walk with God. It's just a quick fix of emotionalism every Sunday and Wednesday. And people have accepted that as church life. It's a lie from hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Working you up emotionally is not leading you anywhere but to your own damnation. What does the Bible say about leaders? 1 Timothy chapter 3, don't turn there. The Bible admonishes us. Don't let that leadership be novices, new converts. The Bible says they can fall into the snare of the devil. Pride will govern them because they just got in it. You know how many people are jumping around, hadn't been in this thing a year yet. Babes in Christ trying to tell everybody about Christ and what to do. Sit down and park yourself in a pew somewhere and let somebody teach you and instruct you, and you come up under the disciplines of the word to change you. You know what the hidden mystery is of most people? They don't know how much stuff is wrong with them. You don't know what's still binding you. You got a head knowledge. You know some stuff that you learned and was told on the internet or read in a book, but that's not good. That's not good enough. You need the experience of actually living out circumstances with God. God will teach you through experiences. You will go through things with God to know God and learn God. That's why the old man knows the way and the young man is used for strength. The old man can't lift that 80-pound box, but that young man can. So the old man can tell the young man where to put it. Hey, buddy, move that box over there. One response came from me to my military commanders. Yes, sir. It's what's missing. That is what's missing in a nutshell. The two-word responses to commands. Yes, sir. I never gave input. I never questioned. It wasn't my job to analyze the decision. He gave commands. We obeyed the commands. I worked for commanders, fighter squadron, Homestead Air Force Base, 1981, the 308th Tactical Fighter Squadron. F-15s lying down that runway, 50 to 60 F-15s. We had 74 pilots, about 72 WIZOs, which were the weapon systems officers that sat in the back seat of those aircraft. I ran operations. I dealt with what had to be done. I worked directly for the commander. Majors, lieutenant colonels, captains, all these guys. I was a sergeant and I dealt with them because the commander dealt with me. I did all the orders. I made sure those guys ate when they flew somewhere. I made sure they were getting paid right. I cut the orders. I walked them through the command center. Because my commander gave the responsibility over to me. I ran it like I saw fit. That's what we got to have in church. Got to train them, teach them, trust them. You are responsible for this. And if it's not done, you are accountable for it. We got out of Destin, Florida. I don't think about the praise and worship. The praise and worship team better be there on time, dressed appropriately, and know their lines. If you don't, you're not fit to operate in a military affair. Why don't you discipline yourself under God's command to do what's necessary, be on time, and be accountable? You'll go to your job and be more disciplined about your stinking, worldly, earthly job than the kingdom of Almighty God. And you call yourself a saint of God. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. This is a military affair. This is a war with a cherubim angel, with an entourage of fallen angels and demons under his command. The devil is a commander. He does not tolerate rebellion. He does not tolerate uprisings. He does not tolerate anybody questioning him. What's the difference between the devil's kingdom and God's kingdom? The devil's kingdom is void of love. But God's kingdom, even in a military affair, is full of love, which is expressed through selflessness. Why are you on time? Why is all of your stuff in order? Because you're selflessly operating under the auspices of the Holy Ghost as a vessel to sacrifice yourself up for the body of Christ. And you care about it because you care about the souls. That's the difference between the devil and God. He runs a kingdom full of hatred, malice, rejection, unforgiveness, and bitterness. God's kingdom is saturated in selflessness, expressing God's nature, which is love. That's the difference. But since most folk haven't been into a military skirmish, they don't understand war. They just casual call around. Que sera, sera. This is good enough. It's trash. It's garbage. Because the eldership and the disciplines of command have to be brought back to the body of Christ. Not with novices. Because they don't know the way. They know nothing about him that was from the beginning. They have no track record to know how things used to be, to know what ought to be. So you remember the old landmark. You know how it used to be with the old time saints praying through. The church mothers laboring all night in prayer in the church. You knew about the disciplines of the folk in church that lived out Pentecost and holiness and sanctified lives. Folks nowadays don't know anything about that. It's now the user-friendly church, the emerging church, trying to meet people where they are and bringing in hip-hop and rap and rock and roll. It's all garbage, good buddy. We got to go back to the old landmark where the praise and worship glorifies God and not soothes the human beast, the flesh inside. See, they're not trying to worship God. They're trying to feel good because they like the filth from this world. So they try to drag the filth of the world into the church and tell God this is good enough. You know who you are? You're Cain. Cain told God, what I'm offering is good enough for you. I'm not giving you what you want. You will accept what I give you, God, and you'll like it. And you know what God's going to tell you? No, I won't. I'm not accepting that, and I'm not accepting you. I'm rejecting what you gave, and I'm rejecting you. If any change is going to be done, guess who's going to make it? We are. Postmodernism has led to chaos and disorder in thinking. Folk don't know who they are, what they believe, where they're going. They have no direction. They live for today and have no concern for the recompenses of tomorrow. Everything you do today will be paid for tomorrow. But see, a postmodernist just que sera, sera. If it feels good, do it. It's not my truth. I do what I like. I don't see anything wrong with it. I tell my daughter, I say, see, your problem is you disrespect my command. How? I just, see, you don't just nothing. You do as you're told. They don't understand disrespect because they got postmodernistic minds. They don't understand the traffic cop right there is going to put your butt in cuffs and you going to jail for 3 days. They don't understand that judge when that gavel goes down and give that guy 25 years for pushing drugs. They don't understand that. They thought they were going to push drugs with impunity and there'll be no ramifications of it. That's a postmodernist mind. I go to the club, I beat up folk. I break in cars, I take your stuff. I can't understand being arrested. I did what I wanted to do. I have sex, now I'm in the hospital, 60 pounds with AIDS, scheduled to die tomorrow morning. Insides rottening out of me. That's a postmodernist mind. I do what I want to do, now you got to pay. But see, a person with that old mind, that know, you know the old landmark, you can tell a person, what you do today will be paid for tomorrow. You will reap what you have sown. If you dance to the music, you will pay the piper. That comes from experience. How do you know? Because it happened to you. My oldest son was just talking to my teenage daughter, trying to tell her, I'm telling you what I'm telling you because of what happened to me. I'm not talking down to you. I'm talking across to you. I'm trying to give you information to avoid the hell I've lived through in my life. I know what I'm talking about. It's not emotion based. I've lived through hell. I'm living through hell because I didn't listen to instructions given to me by that man standing right there referring to me. This man right here told me, and I wouldn't listen. And I paid heavy for it. Just like many of your kids are paying heavy now. They don't let you know it. They're paying a heavy price, man. Because the Bible says, you would not my reproof. You know what reproof is? Forewarning. Trying to give advice. The Bible says that a multitude of counselors, there's what? Safety. It's wisdom coming from the old gray hairs. The Bible says respect the gray-haired man. Because he knows the way. Folk jumping around on the internet. Young boys trying to explain something they know nothing about. Stop. You need to be in a local church with the right leadership and eldership, disciplining your butt under the mighty hand of God so that you inherit God's kingdom as the next generation of leaders, having been molded and shaped into what you need to be to lead somebody. That's the way it goes. That's the only way it goes, and it will never change. Dunamis Tabernacle will be designed to minister to leaders, which is defined as young men coming up through the ranks. You got to teach these young men to be leaders. That will lead to them being what? Husbands and responsible fathers. And if you check the Bible out, you can check it out all you want. Read Titus, read Timothy, read the Old Testament. The only people that govern the household of God is fathers. You are proven at home as a husband and a father. Read it in 1 Timothy and Titus and watch and see. You must govern your own home well. Your wife must be sober and obedient also, and the kids must be in obedience. If a man knoweth not how to govern his own home, how can he govern the household of God? That's Bible verbatim. Lady, trying to be a pastor, sit yourself down and go somewhere. You're in the way is what you are. You walk in an antichrist spirit. That's the spirit of antichrist, having you trying to take over God's home when the qualifier is a fatherly spirit to raise God's children for him. We are the surrogates of God to govern God's home, to raise his children. How? In the fear and admonition of the Lord. It won't change. My son got no sense to know. He told me right. I went against it. Told my daughter, to point to me and his mama. I argue with him every day, trying to get my way. And now I'm paying for it. See, I'm not trying to claim I'm doing right because I'm not. But I know what's right. Hey, he is very close to salvation. He don't know it. He don't know it very close to salvation. If you can analyze that, you're standing around the edge of falling in that river. See, most folk can't even consciously analyze the fact I'm way out of bounds. I missed it by a million miles. I'm rebelling against that which is righteous. If you can analyze that fact, God's going to set up circumstances to put you in. Once he puts you in that river, the current of the river carry you all by itself. Just get in the river. The Bible says it starts ankle deep. It goes knee deep, waist deep. And finally it ends up as a river that cannot be passed over. The current will take you into deeper water all by itself. Stay in the process, young man. Stop trying to get on the internet and be some kind of biblical authority and get with the elders. Your success as a young man is found with the elders. I don't even worry about the women. You know why? Because women will follow leaders.
The only reason women are out there and half naked, trying to be divas, talking tough, talking cussing, you know why they do that? Because that's what they believe the guys want. They're reflectors. A woman has to be a reflector of a man. You see a whore, I don't have to go two blocks to find what she's dealing with. A whoremongering, stank man that want to have sex with somebody. She's reflecting who she's with. That's why I don't even think about having to argue and debate with women. I've had a lot of guys tell me about what their wife said. I said, I don't care what your wife said. I'm talking to you. You change. I change the head, the body going to change. Well, my wife, I don't care about your wife. Well, my wife said, I don't care about your wife, man. I had one guy, he talked about every two sentences he was bringing up his wife. I said, look, and I finally told him, look, man, I don't care nothing about your wife. Don't you mention your wife to me again. I'm dealing with you. I think he lasted maybe another 2 months. Why? He was trying to blame the body for what the head was doing. Then you get these little sissy guys talking about, you might be the head, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. You wimp. You spineless wimp, you. Always trying to abdicate responsibility and authority, just like Adam did with Eve, the woman you gave me. Don't mention your wife to anybody as your problem, man. Your wife is a reflection of what you have been and what you have taught her and the way you've conducted yourself. I don't want to talk to you, man, about your wife or your girlfriend or your mommy. You have been given the responsibility by God to be a leader, and you better man up. Amen. That's the way it goes. Postmodernism leads to individualism. Can't nobody be told anything. No gender specificity. I'm androgynous. I'm bisexual, trisexual, all kinds of sexual. I'm crazy, and everything's allowable. No boundaries. So therefore, I don't get married and have a relationship with my wife. I just hook up with everybody. I go to down to Florida, I hook up. I go over here to Kansas, I hook up. I go over to California, I hook up. I go to Canada, I hook up. I go to Europe, I hook up. You're not a human, you're a tow truck. You're a cotton-picking tow truck. You hook up. What are you, a fire hydrant and a hose? You that low life, that scum, that you just hook up with people with no compassion, no love, no relationship, no sensitivity. I met a guy in the club. We hooked up last night. What was the name? I don't even know the guy's name. I just wanted. I was just hot between my legs. I need somebody to hook up. I was on fire. He had a hose. That's what we've come to with this warped postmodernistic age. Selfishness inundates the environment. Everything on TV, selfishness. Look at all the diva shows, hip-hop wives, and girl making porno. Oral sex performed on porno. Guy just oral sex with a boyfriend, all on the porno tapes. And she walking around on hip-hop wives like she just this is normal as anybody. Who would have that kind of degrading, filthy trash in the public arena about themselves and walk around with impunity like nothing ever happened, like she's just normal and everything's beautiful? That's that postmodernistic mind. They do it because they want it to be seen, because it makes them popular. The more filthy you are in this society, the more they exalt you. That's why Kim Kardashian made a porno tape. Pam Anderson made a porno tape. This girl on Hip Hop Wives made a porno tape. Everybody tries to make porno and filth and gutter rot to promote themselves. Nicki Minaj puts a bare butt with a thong in your face to promote her next CD. Why? Because the more filthy you are, the more degraded you are as a woman, the more you're exalted. That's the filth of a postmodernistic age. And the last thing, that age has no love, because there's no selflessness. All the rappers sing about themselves and brag on their stuff. Got $1,000 pair of shoes on, you don't even know it. Got $1 million house, you don't even know it. Got $500,000 car, you don't even know it. Just Lil Wayne tell you, all my friends are rich as F. All my, you want to be like us? You want to be with us? All my friends are rich as F. You can't be with us. They sing these songs to these folk, and they go to the concerts. They have folks spit in their face, call them trash, cuss them out, tell them you'll never be like me, taking your money from the concert, living off of it, and spitting in your face just like Creflo Dollar. Creflo Dollar taking your money, spitting in your face, telling you that you need to be wealthy and be prosperous while taking your money, living off of it, and just spitting in your face every sermon and driving off in a Rolls Royce or Bentley and making a fool out of you. Creflo Wayne is nothing but a religious form of Lil Wayne. Creflo Wayne. Cashflow is his friend. Cashflow Wayne, brother of Lil Wayne. This is crazy. This is what we got. This is what we really got for real. It's crazy. But I know this. A person has to be made to step over the truth and righteousness to fall away. If you downgrade the standard, the world will see you as so unaccommodating, so hateful. But somebody has to draw a line in the sand and say, this is the way and you better walk in it. Because God is not going to change. He's going to sit there on that throne and he'll watch billions of people fall into a lake of fire and not even flinch, showing no facial expression whatsoever. Why? I told you. He also tells you beforehand, it's a narrow way, few there be that find it. He already accounts for the fact the majority going to hell. Not going to change one inch. If you think God is governed by emotionalism, you better change real fast. Because you'll sit there and watch your brother, your children, your mama, your daddy, all your aunts and uncles go to hell. And there ain't nothing to say about it. Why? I told them. I warned them. That's the best he's going to do. He's going to appeal to your will, and you must bow the knee and change. The household of God has to return to decency and order. That means respect, honor, dignity, morality, modesty, virtue, and valor must come back. What's in that world that's contrary to all these attributes of the household of God? You get body mutilization with people covered in tattoos as if it's normal. There's something wrong with you. I can guarantee you, if you're a saint of God and you've come to God, God is not going to malign you and downgrade you and put you down for having tattoos, but he has to get the demons out of you that caused it. I can guarantee you got tattoos all over you. You need to have those demons cast out of you that caused you to ride all over yourself like a kid in the third grade with magic markers. You got demons in you that caused you to mutilate your body. You were wonderfully and fearfully made. You can't improve upon yourself by writing all over yourself. The only thing you mark like that is beef in a cattle that's going to be slaughtered. Markings on any organism is for identification and possession. The devil marks you to show ownership of you. He stamps you in the base of your back as a woman with a tramp stamp to make sure people know this is one of my whores. That's why the world even calls it a tramp stamp. They know what it's for. You'll have the appetite appended to the spirit that governs you. The reason why you have an appetite for tattoos is because the demon that governs you is trying to mark you as its possession. You know why people get multitudes of tattoos? They got multitudes of demons. And every demon is trying to do what? Put a tribal marking on you to identify you as its property. It can brag to the other demons, I got them to do this one right here. See that right there? I got them to do that one. Well, yeah, see that mural on her back? I inspired her to do that. Well, yeah, it's just like a house, a property that has all these markings of the demons to show ownership. You get a legion of demons, they'll tattoo you from the crown of your head to the tip of your toes. Every demon showing some form of ownership of that property. You've dedicated yourself to the demons. And guess what? You got to go under heavy sanctification and heavy consecration to get rid of those demons. Because you marked yourself as owned by the demons. You did that in ignorance. But God forewarned you wearing Leviticus, telling you what? Do not tattoo yourself like the heathens do. But I didn't know. Any court in the land will tell you what? Ignorance is what? No defense or no excuse for the law. But I didn't see the speed limit sign. I was going 75. It's 50, you said, but I didn't see it. Sir, the fine is $250. But I... Do you have the money now? Or should I just give you over to the hand of the bailiff to deliver you over to the authority to put you in? It's either 250 or 30 days in jail. You take your choice. Well, can I call? Go call your mama. Call whoever you got to call. We can wait for you to make a phone call. But at the end of the day, you got to pay the $250. When you deal with law and God comes to the judge, it's not going to be, look, mercy and grace will end at the judgment seat. There ain't going to be no mercy or grace at the judgment seat. Did you know that? Mercy or grace would have been done away with. Now we're judging according to what? The law. What you've done in your mortal body. It's going to be almost like a cold, callous environment. The books will be open. See, that's all just cut and dry stuff in Revelation. And the books will be open. And you'll be judged from what you did written in that book. There ain't gonna be no argument because the book is gonna be flawlessly written with no mistakes. That's why we better get our minds reconditioned now to deal with God. Sexual perversion is rampant against the decency and order of the church. Homosexuality is like a plague. Then they bring a man with the Ebola virus into the country yesterday. He's out at Emory right now. And the lady with it arrives, I think, Wednesday. We're going to put him in isolation. And man, listen, the Ebola virus is deadly. There is no vaccination for it, and it's never been in the Western Hemisphere. You see how crazy, see, you follow the world and crazy folk, you're going off of a cliff. Why you want to bring that over here? Like you have control to contain it. They were in Africa treating it. They had all the protective suits on and they got it. See, man, the world is so crazy that if you follow them, you can depend on impending doom. Look at Proverbs 23 real fast. Proverbs 23. This place is so silly that you have to be crazy to want to be in the world. Because the world is a crazy place. Proverbs 23. Verse 10. Remove not the what? The old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Don't go into the world because it's governed by who? The fatherless. Enter not into the fields of the fatherless. That's what he's trying to tell us. If you haven't had a fatherly upbringing, okay, you didn't have a real literal father. That's why God sets you in the family in the church to be raised by church fathers. Don't enter into the field of the fatherless because they have had no admonitions, no instructions, no discipline. They're going to lead you into rebellion against God. Remove not the old, not the new, the old landmark, and enter not into the field of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Just live right, stay in righteousness, and everything you desire will come to pass. That's what you try to tell these kids. If you get with God and live under his commandments, he will govern your life and you'll have a good life. But outside of God, you can expect doom and gloom and desperation and damnation in your life. And they go right to the world. And what do? They dwell amongst the fatherless. The world is governed by a bastard spirit. Why? Because the devil is a bastard. He can be a red bastard. He can be a winged bastard. I don't know what he looks like. But one thing's for sure. He did not submit to the Father of spirits. And he became a renegade bastard spirit. You can't govern him. You can't tell him anything. He walks in his own head knowledge. He's proud and arrogant. And you can't get past that Greek mind that governs everybody that follows him. They have the mind of bastards. And when your child goes into the world, they're submitting themselves to the spirit of the bastards. It's all in hip hop. It's all on TV. It's in the movies. It's all governed by bastards. They hate God. They won't submit to the Father of spirits. He says, submit yourself to the Father of spirits and live. How do we get rid of that bastard spirit? That flesh is a bastard. You have a dirty bastard in you. I think that was one of the Wu-Tang Clan or one of them. Old bastard. Old dirty bastard. Was that the Wu-Tang Clan? That's what you call yourself. That's pitiful. That's the sum total of what you are. An old dirty bastard. But that's what the flesh is outside of God. How do you get rid of it? Let's wrap it up. Isaiah 58. That thing got to be executed. It's got to be put to death. Don't try to compromise with it. Don't try to understand it. Kill it so Christ can live. Isaiah 58, reading it straight through. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. So you're seeking me like you're doing what's right and you obey me. Man, you're a joke. Why are you coming to me like you obey me when you're a rebel against me? Why are you having church service every Sunday, Joel Osteen, as a rebel against me? Talking about this is my Bible. This is my Bible. I believe my Bible. I believe what my Bible says. Man, stop lying to yourself. He says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God, always going to prayer. Always trying to confess the word. Always trying to look like they're prophesying and knowing me. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and you see not? Where have we afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. So you're out here living a life of luxury, living it up, having a good time talking about your fasting. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. So you're trying to fast, trying to know some junk so you can strive and debate with somebody and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? That's the reason you fast, to get rid of the demons and to loose the bands of oppression and wickedness off of you. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not thyself from what? Your own dirty, stinking, bastard flesh. I added that, but it's in there. Your own stinking, bastard flesh. Don't hide from it. The fasting is going to reveal what you really are. It's going to expose you to you. Selflessness. I'm sharing. I'm helping the poor. I'm pouring out my soul in intercession for others. Then shall thy light, this is the result, your light will break forth as the morning. Your health and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. You'll be bathed in the light, the glory of God. Why? The darkness will be deadened and expelled from your life, and the light, the glory, will illuminate from you. Then shalt thou call, you see the if and then statement. If you do these things, these prescribed through fasting, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, pointing at other people, accusing them, and pointing out what they're doing wrong. Deal with the introspection of yourself and get rid of the flesh. And if you draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If you turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What of the Sabbath day now? The Sabbath day is Jesus. What is the Sabbath day defined as? The day of rest from your labors. Hebrews talks about entering into the rest of the Lord. He rested on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is an eternal day that we eternally, continually abide in. It's a person. So you got folks who read that trying to get you back to worshiping on Friday afternoon at sundown to Saturday afternoon at sundown, not understanding the revelation of the Bible. The Sabbath day is a day where you cease from carnal works and you let God govern every aspect of your life, because you've removed the barrier to him by deadening the flesh and getting rid of the inspirational demons that have guided your life and you just didn't know it. Led by the devil to your demise and you had no conception of it. What has to happen? We have to go back to the old pathways of fasting and prayer. Elders have to be in place to teach the young. The Bible even talks about the old women, that they might teach the young women how to be homemakers, how to be successful mothers and wives. That's the responsibility of the older women. The Bible says that exactly is what it says. The operation of the church has to go back into the unity of the community. The old and the young, interactive and cooperative in the church for the sake of the babes in Christ. When they come into a family discipline, they understand this is a family unit and there's order here, and I have to conform to the order. I don't have to conform to the people and be some type of a prototype of everybody here. God does not make automatons. He does not make clones. But the environment is one of collective order and discipline to be raised under the fear and admonition of the Lord. He calls the young because they're strong. He calls the old because they know the way. It's a combination of the strong and the old that governs the church. Young men are instructed to become husbands, fathers, qualifying them for church authority and leadership. You're not going to jump up as a novice, unmarried, wet behind your ears, leading anybody anywhere. The people will only see you as a clown. They'll laugh at you and scoff at you because they know you have not gone through the necessary disciplines to lead anybody anywhere. You couldn't lead the people to the toilet. So stop kidding yourself and get under the order of God and let God raise up the proper authority to govern the body of Christ. He's got to do it because we're looking at anarchy. Proper leadership has to be reestablished, and people who have the right heart will knowingly come to proper leadership to go through the necessary disciplines to be a member of the body of Christ. We need the strong and we need the old. The strong because they have the backbone of the strength, and the old because they know the way. It's just the way it is. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, release us by the Holy Ghost to see these things come to pass. The body of Christ has to be reorganized. It has to be, it's a reformation that's necessary. A revival is reflected in Ezekiel 37, where those old dry bones have to be brought back to life again. Dried up. The Bible says they're very dry. No body, no ligaments, no skin. Reform the church. It's a reformation that's depicted in Ezekiel chapter 37. Filled with the Holy Ghost again to be the church of the living God. A reformation outside of churchianity and religion. A reformation of the body of Christ. The Bible says he's raising this thing up as a mighty army that will do exploits. God, that's what we believe for. That's what we pray for. If we pray the will of God, the Bible says you hear us. And we'll have the petitions of our heart. If this be the will, hear us, O God, and bring these things to pass. Folks are going crazy. Only you can stop the process and the progress of this craziness. This insanity is taking hold. God, have mercy on the human race once again. In Jesus' name, amen. It's going to wrap it up for this week. Remember again, the conference, August 22nd through 24th, down in Destin, Florida. Looking for people to turn out heavy. We're coming down there in prayer, praise, worship, preaching, teaching, fellowship, and deliverance to set captives free. It's time to move on to another place in God. It's time to move up to higher ground in God. Remember also prayer line, the prayer line every night, Monday through Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock p.m. That number is 1-805-399-1000. 1-805-399-1000. Access code is 409-367. Also remember, we're still receiving funds for the Dunamis Tabernacle. A lot of people dropped off, I guess, in participation in the conference as it came up, but there are others who are not even coming to the conference. Don't let down. Don't stop giving. We're trying to raise up the money and the funds to open up Dunamis Tabernacle to make what I'm saying today about church and leadership a reality. It's no sense in trying to teach theory without practicum. I don't care about theory. I don't care about what could be. Somebody has to put boots on the ground, and it has to happen. You have to have a place to send folks that you save. You save a person today, they need a foundational place to develop in where the people are there who are not religious and crazy and dictatorial and judgmental, but you can come in and grow in grace. I preach a lot of hard messages. I preach about tattoos, but I don't judge people about tattoos. You got a tattoo? Hey, a tattoo ain't going to keep you out of heaven. You won't have a tattoo on a glorified body, I bet you, when you're resurrected. So it's all temporal. I'm here to get people's spirits ready to leave here and meet their maker. So stop binding yourself to what you did and sin you committed. We can get past all of that. But you got to get rid of the spirits that will try to limit you. Denying it and trying not to recognize it won't set you free. Well, I just won't mention tattoos because I don't want to offend anyone. That ain't my job. My job is to find out what spirit got into what you did and to get rid of it. That's all I'm concerned with. I ain't concerned about how you look, what you wear, and all the other junk. You'll change outwardly as the inside of you is changed. You have to worry about it. So that's what it's all about. Stop sitting there offended by the devil telling you all this junk about yourself, hearing what I didn't say because you got all these nuances in you that are so easily offended. You need to want to get free at any cost. That's what it's all about. Remember prayer. Remember Dunamis Tabernacle. You can give at www.omegaministry.org. See you down in Destin here in a couple of weeks. That thing is going to come so fast, it's going to amaze people. End of this week, by the time we hit Friday, it's going to be August the 8th. You get past another week, it's August the 15th. That's another week. We're out of here. So you got to get ready and make preparations now, because it's going to come so fast. 3 weeks is like 3 days or 3 hours now. Make preparations now. Pack your stuff now. Get yourself ready now, because it's going to come so fast. See you down there in a couple of weeks. We're going to do what we got to do to set folk free and be available for God to move. And we expect him to move mightily on behalf of the saints. Let's do this. We got to move on now, y'all. It's getting late in the day. Have a good week. Thank you for listening in. See you Wednesday night for another Bible study at 7:30 p.m. on this same live stream channel. Be blessed and stay faithful in Jesus' name.